You're tuned into Cork Talk Official. Check us out on Facebook for all our upcoming episodes.
Mr. Crack, and we're back. You are, of course, listening to Cork Talk Official with your host, Benjamin Hayes, for Episode 5, Part 2. So, thank you for tuning in. Delighted to have you here. In Part 1 of Episode 5, we did discuss a kind of heartbreaking story that... a situation as well that I experienced on Tuesday, the 15th of October. So look, just extending on from that and continuing with it, I was saying just towards the end of episode one that I was going to talk a little bit about what happened afterward. So we'll get into that later on. As I said, in part one, we do have a dose load of music requests, so that's why I've made it into a two-part show. So we'll definitely get another music request in, and then maybe just one at the end of the show, we'll get another music request in, and we'll have filled all our requests for music. So continuing on with the story we had at part one, after I left this woman by the name of Anna and her daughter Casey, I was just walking away from where they were sitting at Robert Street, Penny's Alley, most people know it as. But as I was heading away, I was walking down Robert Street, and this guy, he must have only been maybe in his early 30s, I'd say, he jogged up behind me, and I could hear the feet behind me coming up, and I could hear him running behind me, and he tapped me, and I turned around, and I said, I goes, are you alright, is anything wrong? And he goes, why did you do that? And I kind of paused for this, and this is true as God, this happened afterward, and I looked at him as much to say, why did I do what? And I was still teared up, so you could kind of see in my face, I was kind of red in the face. My eyes were kind of a bit red, you know, you could see that I had been teared up about it and whatever else. And he goes, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I couldn't really understand what he was on about for a split second. I goes, look, I goes, I don't know what you're on about. I goes, do you know what you mean? What are you trying to say? Like, and he turned around and he said, you do realise that the money that you gave to that woman is going to be used for drugs. As soon as you leave, he goes, she's going to go away and get into contact with someone, and she's going to go in and buy drugs. And I looked at him, and I had to laugh. I did laugh. I kind of sniggered at him. And I just goes, look, I goes, number one, I goes, I didn't give the woman any money. And I goes, number two, what I did with the money, I goes, is I bought her some food for herself and the small girl. I goes, I actually went into Penny's, and I still had the receipt in my pocket, and I still have the receipt here and now. I still have the receipt at home. And I said, look, I showed him the receipt, and he goes, look, I goes, this is what I did with the money. I goes, I bought her a hoodie. I bought two pairs of socks, an adult pair and a child's pair. And I goes, I bought the child a jacket. I goes, I didn't give that woman any money. And he kind of stood back for a quick second. And he looked at me and he goes, oh, he goes, he goes, it doesn't matter. He goes, because she's going to go back in now and try and sell the clothes for money. And I was looking at him. I goes, she can't change the clothes because I have the fucking receipt in my pocket. And so she's not going to get any money for him. She's not going to be able to exchange it for any cash or anything like that. And he didn't understand the situation that was going on. He was only there a couple of minutes. And it was actually when I came back out of Penny's, and I had given this girl Anna and her daughter Casey the clothes that I had picked up. I noticed this guy, he was standing literally outside the sweet shop that's at the back of Penny's. He was standing there and he was staring over, and I could kind of see him. I was glancing at him every couple of minutes or every few seconds, you know, to kind of see what the fuck was he staring at, like. And he was staring at me, and he was staring at this woman Anna sitting down on the floor as I was chatting away to her. He had his phone out. I don't know if he took a couple of pictures or a video or whatever. I just seen the phone. No, he might have just had the phone out because he was texting someone or whatever. But in my own paranoid and anxiety state, I thought he was taking fucking pictures and videoing and this, that, and whatever. But he came up to me, as I said, and he was like, look, he was like, she's going to use the money you gave her for drugs. She's going to try and go back into Penny's and exchange the clothes and then get the money and go away and do this and do that. And I couldn't fucking... And it's this stereotypical view that a lot of us have, that a lot of the people that are homeless inside town are only out, I suppose, begging for money because they want to go away and they want to buy drugs, this, that, or whatever. That's not the fucking case. And I did mention this in part one. When I was younger, 14, 15 years of age, I used to always think it. That was kind of, I suppose, the stigmata at the time. It was like, oh, look, don't give money to homeless people because all they're going to do is go in and buy drugs. And maybe they might do. Maybe that's what they're using the money for. You don't understand why they're doing it. You don't understand what led to that situation. Do you get me? And that's the point. It's very controversial because some people do it. And they're on the streets because their life is hell-bent on buying this substance, buying that substance, using it. And the next thing you know, they can't afford a home, or they have had to move out of home because of certain circumstances. And they're using what money they get on the streets to buy these substances that they are addicted to. And look, I've met people that are genuinely 100% down on their luck, that are addicted to substances, that do, yes, use the vast majority of the money that they get to buy the substance that they are addicted to. And then you meet people that who couldn't give a shit. They have a home. And I've met people like this, and I've talked to people like this, that who have a home. They can go home to their mom and dad, or they can go home to where they're living with their sister, or their brother, their uncle, cousin, whatever the case may be. And they have openly said it to me. This is true as God as anything. They've said it to me. Look, I'm only out begging on the street because I don't have the money to afford to buy my fix, my drug, what it is I'm addicted to. Do you know what I mean? And I've said it to me. I was like, you do realise there's genuine people that are stuck, who are in bad circumstances, and, you know, who genuinely need it. And you're taking this away from them because all you want to do is go away and, you know, buy your fucking, your fix, your line of this, or your jab of that, you know what I mean? And I couldn't believe it that this guy had come up to me, and he ran, he jogged after me. I was about halfway down Robert Street. I was just about to come out to the main door of Penny's, the front door of Penny's, I suppose you could say, that side of the alleyway. And he was in the middle part of that, and he knocked me on the shoulder, tapped me away, and he was like, look, they're going to use that for drugs. She's going to use that. And I was like, look, I didn't give her any money. Do you know what I mean? I was like, there's a receipt. I bought clothes. Do you know, it was only a fucking hoodie, a pair of socks, and a small little jacket for the young one. Do you know what I mean? It's nothing big. And I said, look, I bought him a bite to eat. Do you know, a couple of pieces of food, some fruit, chocolate bars for the young one, a couple of sandwiches and stuff like that. I goes, so what are you trying to get at? Oh, he goes, where I'm from, we don't give money to homeless people at all because all they do is go away and buy drugs. And I was looking at him and I kind of said to him, look, I goes, I don't know where you're from. I goes, but where I'm from, and I goes, the way I was raised, I was like, look, you show fucking some bit of kindness to people, do you know what I mean? Some kind of courtesy, some bit of consideration towards other people, do you know? And that's just me. Whether people disagree with me, people can say, oh yeah, look, he's right, they'll go away and buy this. That's grand, think that. I don't mind that in the slightest. Think what you want to think about it. But look, I'm the type of person that has some kind of, I don't know, weakness, you can call it. I seen this little girl, Casey, and I seen her mother, Anna, and it broke my heart to see it. So in the way I am, the person I am, had to kind of do something about it, I suppose. What I did probably isn't, you know, the help they need, in terms of what they really need to get back on their feet and to have a roof over their head and whatever. But look, it was a fucking gesture of kindness. That's all it was. It wasn't to be a superhero or anything like that. It was just to show this woman that we're not all the same. We're not all fucking fools walking around with our heads stuck in our phones, walking past them while she's asking people for money, and you don't even glance at them to see that it's another human being sitting on the floor. Do you know what I mean? And that's all it was. And this guy pissed me off. And he fucking pissed me off. I'm sorry, but he bugged me. He absolutely bugged me. And after walking away and kind of being, you know, in the upset state that I was in, I wasn't in the mood for him, do you know what I mean? And he was like, look, you shouldn't have done that. You bought him clothes. What are you buying them? What are they going to do with that? And I was like, fucking wear them, boy. I was like, they're hardly going to go away and start waving them around the street. You know what I mean? And he just couldn't get it. And that's what bugged me, was that he couldn't understand why I did what. And maybe that's my downside, was that I understood more about what I did than he did. You know what I mean? He was kind of like,
You shouldn't have done it. You shouldn't have bought them this. You shouldn't have gotten him the food. They're only going to bug the next person. And that's what he said. He was like, they're only going to wreck the heads of the next person to walk down the street for money and for food. And I was like, so what, babe? I was looking at him and I was like, so fucking what? I go, she's got a little girl who's about 4, 5, 6 years of age. I goes, they're out in the piss and fucking rain. And I goes, you're coming up to me, you know, giving out to me that I went away and gave a small little gesture of kindness towards these two people. Do you know, and I said it to him, and in my exact words were, I goes, you're actually stopping me. I goes, because I done something nice for two people that needed it. And he kind of looked at me and he goes, you're, and forgetting the language, but he just goes, you're a fucking fool. And that stuck in my mind afterward. He just goes, you're a fucking fool. And as he was walking away, I called him, and I did, I'm a fucker for that. I got mad, I got angry. And he goes, come here to me a second. And he goes, what, boy, what you want? And I was like, I goes, what the fuck do you mean? I goes, I'm a fool. Forgive the language. I goes, but what do you mean I'm a fool? And he goes, you just went away. He goes, you wasted your own money. He goes, on two fools like that. And I goes, hang on a second. And they were still sitting there, this woman, Anna, and her child were still sitting there. I don't know if they heard this. I don't know if they seen what your man was after doing, calling me back and stopping me. I don't know. But, I caught, and he goes, what do you mean I'm an effing fool? I need to stop the language, my apologies. But I was like, look, I goes, what do you mean I'm a fool? And he goes, you went away, you bought them clothes. He goes, you bought them food. He goes, what the F is wrong with you? And he goes, it's called compassion, boy. I goes, it's called a little bit of kindness. I goes, do what I did. I goes, sit down there. And he goes, listen to what that woman has to say. And he goes, sit down and listen to that little girl. And he goes, look at that little girl and realise that instead of being so stuck up your arse, why don't you show a small bit of kindness to people that actually need it? Oh, I don't care, he goes. See them, he goes, they don't bother me. I wouldn't look at them if I walked past them on the street. He goes, and this is his words, I might have, not exactly, but you know, just his words were, if I walk past them, he goes, when I walk back down this street, he said, and he goes, I won't look at them. I don't deal with homelessness. Homelessness, he said, is a complete another figmentation. He goes, the only reason she's sitting on the street is to get her money for drugs. And I couldn't believe that I was hearing this. Come on, now I don't know where he's from. I don't know, is he a Cork local? A pure fucking plonk all the same. But I don't know, is he a Cork local, where he was from? But the way he was saying it, and I know I couldn't say it to him. Look, I've sat down, I've heard this girl's story. I couldn't convince him that she was genuinely in need of some sort of help. You know, you just have these very numb-minded, narrow-minded, dull people that don't see that some people do genuinely need some kind of common fucking courtesy and some little bit of help. Do you know what I mean? And he couldn't understand it. I was like, look, I was like, go away and stop annoying. And I got mad. I got so mad about it. I was like, look, go away, bye. Don't fucking annoy me. I was like, get away from me. He goes, you're a funny character all the same. He was like, you'd want to get your head checked. And he said, that's what he said. He goes, you're a funny character. You'd want to go away and get your head checked. And I was so tempted to turn around and say something that I probably shouldn't say on the show because I'd probably get kicked off. But I just didn't. I just stood there and I watched him walk away. And the only thing I could do was laugh. Do you know, I just chuckled as much to say, Jesus Christ, like, there is, this fella actually thinks what, and believes in what he thinks, you know, that this woman is sitting on the side of the street with her daughter so she can go away and buy this. Now, look, I could be the fool, and I look at both points, I look at both arguments, I'd look at both sides of every situation, do you know what I mean? I'll do my best to. Now, maybe I was the fool for going away and doing what I did, maybe I was the fool for buying her a bite to eat and buying, you know, the few bits of clothes I bought. Maybe I was the fool. I don't know. I couldn't give a shit. And that's the truth. I couldn't care less. I'd done a small little gesture of kindness towards someone. He couldn't understand that. Maybe he's right. Maybe, you know, but in all fairness, how is she going to go away and exchange the clothes and get cash for it when I have the receipt? You know what I mean? That's kind of fucking common sense in retail. That you need the receipt to go away and exchange something. But I just couldn't believe the fact that this guy had turned around and actually made the effort of jogging halfway down Robert Street, tapped me on the shoulder and turning around and saying, look, what the fuck are you after doing? Why did you do this? Why did you do that? I just couldn't believe it that he actually went to that effort to say, look, and then to turn around and get fucking narky about it and say, look, oh, you're a fool. Do you know what I mean? You're a fucking idiot that you shouldn't have done it. And this, that. And out of pure, just who I am, just, you know, just out of, I stood and I waited to see if he would say anything to this woman, Anna, and this, and just, I stood in the middle of the street, of Robert Street, and I watched this fucking idiot walk back down. And in fairness, he didn't say anything to him. And I stood there and I watched him. I was like fucking weirdo standing there staring at him, waiting to see if he would. And if he did, I'm sorry, but I would have let loose. I would have went mad. I would have walked back up the street and I would have pulled him. I said, what the fuck are you trying to do? Do you know what I mean? Get away from him. I would have went mad. And that's just the type of person. I would probably get the shit kicked out of me for doing that anyway. But it's just the type of person I am. And I stood there and I waited. He walked back up. He turned left as if you're heading down towards Winthrop Street. And Anna, the woman, she just kind of looked down in my direction. I gave her a wave just to kind of much to say, yeah, right. And she waved back and whatever. And I took off and I made me grand trek back to Killeen's. But I just couldn't believe it that he came up. He made the effort to run up behind me and say, what are you doing? Do you know? And it just shocked me to see how narrow. And maybe it's me, do you know, maybe I'm wrong in that. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if I'm wrong in that sense. I don't know, was it wrong of me to do that? Or did he really think that it was such a problem for me to go away and show this woman and her daughter some kind of bit of compassion and kindness, you know what I mean? But it just broke my heart hearing the girl's story, seeing that she had this little girl with her. So look, I didn't do anything major. It wasn't to be a fucking hero or anything like that. I did what I did. I did what I could do. I bought a bite to eat. I bought her a dry hoodie at least, because as I was saying in part one, you could see the greyness of the hoodie as to how wet it was. The little girl, she was soaked, you know, you could see the raindrops dripping down on her face. She was soaked, the hair was soaked. So look, I went away, I bought some clothes, I bought him a bite to eat. I gave the mother a cup of tea at the very start when I first started talking to him. I went back down to the shop, but look, there's nothing major about it. But just to see someone that is so narrow-minded and so absorbed in what they think is wrong, to have him run down the alleyway, run down Robert Street, tap me on the shoulder and say, look, what you did there was wrong, they're going to use that. And I didn't give him money. For those of you who want to know, no, not a penny. I didn't take cash or coins out of my pocket and say, look, there you go. I didn't do that. What I done with the money was I bought him a bite to eat, I bought him some clothes. And this fucking idiot ran down after me and said, look, you shouldn't have done that. They're going to use the money to go away and fucking buy drugs and whatever else. And I said it to him. I goes, look, I have the receipt. As to what, now, I didn't have a receipt from the shop I went to. But I goes, look, I have a receipt from Penny's. I goes, I bought them clothes. You know, a pair of fucking socks and a jacket for the young one, a hoodie for the mother. And he just couldn't make sense of it. He was like, why? And he was looking at me like I was the biggest alien in the world. He was looking at me like I was the biggest psycho that he had ever met in his entire life. And as I said, when he was standing outside the old sweet shop, he had his phone out. I don't know, was he taking my paranoid anxiety state of mind? Says he was taking photographs and videoing me. But look, I don't care if he was or not. If he did, he's posting, oh, this fool done this. But look, I don't know. If he was, he was. That's his own problem. He's the fucking sleeping himself at the end of the night. But I just couldn't believe that he came up and started saying what he said. Do you know what I mean? That you shouldn't have done it. She's going to use that money to buy drugs. Regardless. And that's what he said. Regardless of whether she's a little girl with her. Do you know, she's going to use that money to go away and buy her drugs. And that's what made me laugh at first. Was like, I didn't give that woman money. Do you know what I mean? I didn't hand that woman cash. I used the money I had on me to buy that woman stuff that she might have needed. A bit of food, some clothes, whatever. Do you know what I mean? And I said that to him. He was like, look, because I didn't give that woman cash. What do you mean? I goes, I didn't give her cash. I goes, I went into Penny's. I goes, I bought some clothes. I goes, I went down to the shop just down the road. I goes, and I bought some food. And I even took the receipt out of my pocket from Penny's. And I still have it. And I said, look, I fucking showed it to him. I said, that's the receipt from Penny's. I goes, I gave her no cash. I goes, I just bought her what I thought she needed. And he scoffed. Do you know what I mean? Scoffed away. Oh, you're a fucking fool. But look, getting off that subject, I just couldn't believe that that's the way he was. Do you know what I mean? That he was that narrow-minded. He was that absorbed in whatever the fuck it was that he believes in. That he couldn't understand why someone would go away and just show a little bit of kindness to someone that might need it. It boggled my mind, and maybe I'm the fool for having it boggle my mind and having myself wonder, why would he go away and do that? And that situation I experienced on Tuesday has been bugging my mind when I met that girl Anna and her daughter Casey. It's really been tearing my mind apart the past couple of days, because I'm wondering, are they all right? Just before we started part two of this show, I took a quick look outside and it is pissing rain and it is freezing cold. And so I'm wondering, are they all right? You know, it's tearing my mind up, and it is wrecking my head. But look, getting off that subject, that's the experience that took place on Tuesday, the 15th of October. If you want to give your opinions on that chicane, of course, you can get into contact with us and message us on our Facebook page, which is Cork Talk Official. If you're into the old Stone Age side of things, you can Gmail us, email us, whatever the fuck you call it, at corktalk29@gmail.com. So you can get into contact with us and leave us know what you think about that very, very heartbreaking situation that took place on Tuesday, the 15th, that I experienced, and that plonker that I had to fucking meet then heading away out of it. But look, it was a heartbreaking situation. I did what I could with the few, you know, the few pence, the quid that I had on me, the few bits of money that I had on me. I kind of really don't know what else to say about it, if I'm being honest with you, because it's wrecking my head the past couple of days, wondering whether there are, and I know it only happened today, it's only Friday, Thursday, when, you know, but it's wrecking my head the past couple of days. But look, we did have a dose load of music requests in. We played, of course, at the very start of it for a buddy of mine who I've worked with at a lot of festivals, Aidan Murphy. We did, of course, work at Electric Picnic. I discussed that in previous shows. We worked from the Wednesday of 1 week up until the fucking Thursday of the next week. That was a horrible job to do. EP gave me PTSD. I don't care what anyone says. EP was bad, but we played a song from him, for him. He's living out in Passage West. He wanted to get that song in and wanted to get a shout out. So that the first song in part one was for, of course, Aidan Murphy, a great friend of mine who I worked with. It was A Lord Dance, if that's the correct pronunciation of it. I was shit at French. I failed French in school. So don't even, if I'm wrong with the pronunciation, you know, that's sorry, but we're going to take another quick short break because I do have a dose load of music requests to get in. There's more music requests coming in than there is people wanting to have topics discussed. But look, that's not a bad thing. That's how it goes. Whatever the case may be, all income, all texts, everything like that is good news for us. So look, this is a song that I only recently discovered. I'm very outdated with music. I'm still listening to Bob Marley. Do you know what I mean? I'm still listening to U2, Pink Floyd, The Police. I'm still listening to all them. I'm stuck back in the 60s, 70s and 80s. So I'm very outdated when it comes to music. So this, of course, is Dance Monkey. I got the name completely wrong, and I posted it on Facebook the other day as Monkey Dance, and people thought I was a fucking mental case. What is Monkey Dance? But it's Dance Monkey by Tones and I. It's a class song. I only discovered it and heard it on the radio. Go back maybe 2 days ago, 3 days ago. And it is a great song. But someone did get into contact with us, and that's what I found gas about it, was I only heard it a couple of days back, and then someone got into contact with us and they wanted us to play it on our show. So this is going out for Paul Stanton. Paul Stanton got into contact with us before our show started, and he is living out in the Ballincollig direction. He said he's living just outside Ballincollig. Which is what his message says, that he's living just outside Ballincollig. And Paul Stanton wanted Dance Monkey by Tones and I played for him. So for Paul Stanton, living just outside Ballincollig, wherever the fuck it is that you are, this is Dance Monkey by Tones and I. It is an absolutely class tune. You can jam away to it, you can vibe away to it. It is brilliant.
They say, oh my God, I see the way you shine.
For Paul Stanton,
take your hand, my dear.
Dance Monkey by Tones and I.
You know you stopped me dead while I was passing by.
I did that on purpose.
And now I beg to see you dead.
This is, of course, Monkey Dance for Aidan Murphy on Cork Talk Official with your host, Benjamin Hayes. Bad memories to this song. That is, of course, Dance Monkey. Monkey Dance, as I call it. Well, I call it Dance Monkey, but it is, of course, Monkey Dance by Tones and I. What an absolute fucking cracker of a tune. It is class, in fairness. It is class. That is, of course, going out to my buddy Aidan Murphy, who I did work at Electric Picnic with. Electric Picnic gave me PTSD, I'm telling you now. We had this saying, or the lads that worked the security up at EP, we were like, EP gave me PTSD, and Christ alive, it gave me PTSD. Oh, God. But we are, of course, we are rostered. My boss said to me after EP, they were like, look, 4 to 5 of you will work Electric Picnic in 2020. So I am down to work Electric Picnic in 2020. So I'm really not looking forward to doing that. But it don't matter. It is all a great crack. It was a good laugh. We can't complain about it. As I said, we went out. I think that was the fortnight, that we were at EP. Myself and Aidan Murphy, we went to the Heineken tent. And that song, Monkey Dance, Dance Monkey, whatever you want to call it. I call it Dance Monkey. I don't know. I got slated for that on Facebook the other day. But I never heard it before until Electric Picnic, and I didn't hear it any time until I was walking into Blarney the other day, and I had it on my headphones in, and it just came on the radio, and immediately it made me think of that night that I was out with my buddy Aidan. So he got into contact with us, and he wanted us to play that song. He was like, look, can't believe you're doing a podcast, love listening to the show. Remember that time we were at EP? I was like, I don't want that. I don't want to remember it. I don't want to remember EP. EP destroyed me. I don't want to remember it. But he wanted me to get that tune out to basically have basically give me some sort of bad nostalgia to remembering that. So look, it was a great night. I'll never forget it. It was a good crack. We had a good laugh. We had a couple of drinks. For some reason, he kept telling me that he wanted to go to the Yeti Rockets fucking food van afterwards, because they were giving out, we had food vouchers, and I still have the exact food vouchers today. I still have them because I never use them. But he wanted to go to the Yeti Rockets food stall because they were still giving out fucking free food for the security staff. Come on, Yeti Rockets, we need to go there. I was like, Yeti, I know where the Heineken tent is, up at EP, where it was this year anyway, 2019. To walk from the Heineken tent back to fucking Yeti Rockets was a good 40 minute walk. I was looking at him, I was like, you're better off eating the grass. I was like, with the length of time it's going to take us to get back to EP, get back to the Yeti Rockets food stall. And that's one thing I noticed as well about Electric Picnic, especially for someone that's never ever gone to a festival that large. But oh my God almighty above, I got lost, lads. Jesus Christ almighty. I mean, lost is an understatement.
I'd say I got lost about 6 times. The boss came up and said, look, you're in this position, you're in that position. I hadn't a clue as to where I was supposed to go. They gave us this little map that they sent to us through WhatsApp on our phones. I've done orienteering in school. I can read maps. I was looking at this thing. It was like fucking gibberish. I hadn't a clue where I was going. Because it's not marked. And that's one thing I'll say. It's not, the map that we got sent was not marked well in the slightest. Because all of our positions were marked as position 1, position 2, position 3. It was up to position 110 as far as I know. So position 110, as far as I can remember, was basically a watchtower in the Pink Moon campsite. And he came to me, and I knew where that was, because Pink Moon campsite is where everyone, I think, pre-books these tents. The Electric Picnic staff, they set up these tents, and they're already pre-set up for people to book them out and stay in them. Do you know what I mean? So he goes, on the second day, he was like, look, you're in position 110, position 110, do you know where that is? I was like, I think that's a watchtower, isn't it? He was like, spot on, by, you know where you're going. I hadn't a clue where I was going. Knowing where it is and what it is a different story. But knowing how to get there is a fucking different game altogether. And they gave us radios, you know, we have the walkie-talkies. He was coming over the radio. Look, position 110, are you in position in the watchtower? I kept coming over the radio saying, yeah, I'm in position, boss, I'm here now. And Jesus, I don't know where I was, I really don't. For those of you who know where the yellow campsite was, that's where I was when I was supposed to be in the Pink Moon campsite. And little did I know, the yellow campsite is a good fucking hour walk. It is an hour, if you're walking, it's an hour's walk away from the yellow campsite. So I walked. I must have been walking around a good hour and 40 minutes before I actually found it. These two lovely girls from Dublin, I eventually said to them, I goes, my apologies. I goes, where the fuck is the Pink Moon campsite? I goes, I noticed that they were wearing the wristbands. It was a pink wristband. So they were obviously staying there. I goes, the wristbands here are staying at the Pink Moon campsite. They were like, yeah, just up that road and go left. I was like, you're absolute dolls. I goes, pure legends. I couldn't find where I was going at all. It was absolutely crazy. But look, anyway, that's for Aidan Murphy. EPY, I'm dreading doing it next year, because if I have PTSD from doing it once, I can't imagine what's going to happen to me at the next one, because it was bad, especially when you wake up on the second day and your tent is literally full up with water. I mean, like, if you stood in my tent, the water was up to maybe just below your ankle, and I had to sleep in that. Do you know what I mean? But, oh, it was a great crack. It was like being out in the Lebanon or something worse even. But, Erlisher, look, it was a great crack. I've never experienced a festival like it. It was brilliant. I've worked at Independence Festival. I've gone Boxed Off, Yurt City, which I thought was the fakest name in the world. I thought that was a piss take. Boxed Off was my most recent one that I did. What's the name of the... I can't remember the name of it. But for those of you know it, Boxed Off... That was up near Dublin. I can't remember the name of the race course. Punchetstown, my apologies. Up in Punchetstown was Boxed Off, I think. Don't quote me on that, because I could be wrong. But Boxed Off was the most recent one that I did. Piss and rain up at that as well. Independence Festival, piss and rain at that. Electric Picnic was kind of nice for, I think it was the first 2 days. Electric Picnic was nice. And then afterward it went downhill, freezing cold. Oh my God, it was bad. My tent got so soaked that I went to the point where I had to sleep in one of them portable cabin things. Not a portable toilet. As most of the fuckers up there, you're sleeping in the toilet. I was like, go away, guns. Like, no, I'm not. But the portable cabins, the fucking cabins, is what I ended up having to sleep in on the floor of that. But they had a heater, a radiator, and a little fucking hot water machine. So I could make coffee. So I was delighted with that. But, EP was bad, but EP gave me some bad traumatic fucking experiences. I still dream about EP these days. I wake up with fucking night terrors screaming, down there, that's where you're going, yellow campsite, blue campsite. It's bad. If any of you have gone to EP, or, you know, you went there as punters or people just going to visit the festival, you don't know what we did to make sure that you had a good night. You really don't. Making sure that you fuckers didn't get into fights and brawls or anything like that. You don't know. But Independence was very bad. Independence Festival was very bad. I had to carry, I remember that.
on the second day of Independence Festival, I was on the search gate, and this girl came up to us, and she was absolutely out of her mind on whatever it was she was after taking. And look, people don't really believe the stories that we go through. We're only security, we don't do much, but look, we do have to intervene in certain situations. You're not just going to stand there and not leave something happen. As security, that's your job, do you know what I mean? And anyway, this girl came up to us, and she came up to me on my search line. She was fucking out of her mind on whatever it was she was after taking. And I was like, look, do you mind if I search your bag for anything that you shouldn't be bringing into the festival? She couldn't even say yes. Her eyes were closed. She was trying to open them. Her jaw was swinging off her head. And eventually she collapsed. She hit the floor. I called my supervisor. I was like, look, Francis. I was like, look, and he was like, look, I can't come to you. He was actually dealing with the, there was two Gardaí, undercover Gardaí, with my supervisor at the time, because we had a search tent right next to the search gate. So we're the Gardaí, the undercover Garda, the branch, as we call them, the special branch, by do their searches and whatever else. And I didn't know what to do. I hadn't a clue what to do. This girl just fucking dropped in front of me. So I said it to the lad standing next to me. I goes, look, Stephen, I gotta get this girl to a medic. I was like, you know, I don't know what else to do. He goes, go, 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 I'll cover your position, go. So I literally just picked this girl up, I threw her arm around me, and the closest medic tent was about a 15 minute walk. So I ran as quickly as I could. I had this girl in my arms, and this is a true story. I had this girl in my arms and I ran to the medic's tent. And it shocked me so much that this happens at festivals, you know what I mean? For someone that doesn't go at the festivals and experience what happens. But for Electric Picnic, I mean, my first big festival, my first weekend where you have to camp out, as even though you're working there, you still have to camp there. And to pick this girl up, she must have only been about 16, 17, I'd say. And I had to carry her. I ran to the medic's tent with her in my arms. I said, look, I go, she's after collapsing. She's not waking up, she's not responding. I goes, they looked at me and goes, is she under the influence of alcohol? And I was like, no, I don't think she's under the influence of alcohol. I goes, I'd say it's under the influence of something else. And we call it a situation B in security terms. If you're at a festival, a sit rep B, a sit rep B, an SITREP if you want to spell it out, but a sit rep B is basically a situation where someone has collapsed over ingesting too many drugs. And I said, look, I think it's a sit rep B. She's not responding. I've called her a load of times. I've tried to wake her up. She's not responding. And this guy took her off of me, put her into the back of the ambulance, and the ambulance was gone like a shot. And I was standing there. And the girl that was standing there, she was in her 20s as well. She came up to me. She was like, yeah, right. She was like, do you need a medic? And I was pale white. I was. I could feel the blood had drained from my face. And she was like, look, are you all right? She was like, do you need a medic? And I was like, no, I'm grand. I was like, I'm just in fucking shock. I was like, this is kind of the first weekend festival I've done. And she was like, look, we see this all the time. And she was like, you're grand, you're fine. She was like, look, do you want a seat? I'm being probably something like the biggest Mary in the world, but look, I sat down, I got a cup of coffee, and she gave me a cup of coffee, and she was like, look, you're grand. And I've seen bad stuff, lads. Look, I've seen bad stuff growing up. I've seen people collapse over this, that, whatever, do you know what I mean? Won't get too much into it, but look, I've seen bad situations, but seeing it when you're working is a different case, do you know what I mean? Well, for me anyway, when you're working and you have a responsibility, you have to be some bit professional and have some sort of professionalism about your appearance, your just your general, you know, atmosphere to being there. You're there guarding, and I take it too seriously. Some people might say I take it too seriously, but look, you're there to make sure everyone is all right. You have to do the searches right. You have to make sure they're not bringing shit in, whatever the case may be. And it just shocked me that that this was taking place, and that I had to carry this girl to an ambulance. And afterward, I found out off my boss that afterward her mother contacted the Gardaí and asked, you know, was there any word about her daughter? This is what I was told, so don't take my word from it, because I found it kind of sounded a bit suspicious, you know, that it didn't really sound that true. But she had contacted the Gardaí station
up at Electric Picnic in Mitchellstown, whatever the name of the fucking Garda station up in Mitchellstown is, and said, look, I got a call saying that my daughter's friend saying that she got carried to an ambulance by a security lad, which was me, and she was just wondering where she was, and he shook my hand and said, look, fucking fair dues to you, you actually done what was right. You didn't stand there and wonder, was she alright, and leave her go in. I was like, I couldn't leave her go in, she hit the floor, you know, she wasn't exactly standing up. But he shook my hand and said, look, fair dues to you, you did the right thing, in fairness. Her mother wanted to say thank you to you. The mother didn't know my name. She was like, look, but she heard that a security fella carried the daughter to the ambulance and got her to the medic's tent, and she just wanted to say thanks. So I'm saying thank you to you from the mother and this, that, and whatever. But it was a crazy experience. It was a mad one. I've never really experienced anything like that in a work situation. Outside work, you see that shit all the time. I've grown up in Mahon. You see a lot of crazy shit in Mahon, especially going into the city when we were younger. You see a lot of mad carry on. You still see mad things go on in the city this day and age, whether you're from the Glen, Farnery, Mahon, Douglas, it don't matter. You see a lot of crazy, and there's been a lot of bad stuff going on in the city recently. That poor girl from UCC, who I didn't know that girl, she fell into the river just by the city library. She fell into the river and they found her. I knew that girl. She went to college, UCC, I knew who that girl was. In regards to the lad, that the homeless man that was literally beaten to death, only go back a couple of days ago, a week, so maybe a week more, whatever. There's just too much stuff, too many bad things going on in the city lately, and I've seen a lot of it, not everything, do you know what I mean, but I've seen a lot of bad stuff go on in the city. I've seen a lot of things happen to friends, lost a lot of friends to suicide, to doing stupid things such as overdosing and all this. You see a lot of bad stuff growing up in this generation and this day and age. But it was mad. The EP was crazy, so it was a different story, different situation, definitely a lot more extreme than Independence Festival. It was mad. It was a great crack, a great laugh. I've never really had that much of a laugh at anything on a night out, you know. The last fucking night out I was on was when that poor girl Jade ended up getting the shit kicked out of her. I didn't see it, we mentioned that in our last episode. I didn't see it, I didn't witness anything, but he was in the Old Oak pub and apparently they were there as well, and then what, the altercation took place after they left that pub. But just to go home and wake up the next morning and see that he was only, you know, 10, 15 feet away from what took place, it was kind of maddening. But yeah, EP was bad. I'm not looking forward to EP next year. It's going to be a bad one. If you take any, you know, advice or information from EP this year, working at it, EP next year is probably going to be just as bad. But I can't wait for it. It's going to be a great crack all the same. But look, coming up to Christmas time, they're starting the lights soon. They're posting on fucking Facebook about this is the day the Christmas lights are going to go on. Lads, Halloween hasn't even started yet. You know what I mean? Like, wait until Halloween is over. I like Christmas. I love the buzz of Christmas. Everyone in Ireland hates Christmas. I like Christmas. I love the buzz of it. I love seeing the lights and stuff in the city. But Jesus Christ, like, they barely brought out Halloween decorations and their shops getting done up for Christmas. They're on about when the lights are going to be sparked up in town, you know, and all this kind of carry on. It's mad. But look, there's a lot going on in the next couple of weeks, and it's going to be a good crack. Look, we're going to have another music request come in. It is going to be our second last music request, because we do have one more to come in. We got a message just before part two started, so we will get that request in. This music request is a very old song, not very old song, but this is a song that I first heard when I was listening to it on a school tour when I was in Nagel Community College in Mahon. We were going to a small little music studio just out by Douglas, and I was flicking through YouTube, and this song came on. It was by Avicii, or is by Avicii. This came on, as I said, I was flicking through YouTube and this tune came on. And this is for a girl that I did go to school with in Nagel Community College, Clara Byrne. Shout out to Clara Byrne, who lives in Mahon. We both listened to this song as we were sitting on the back of the bus like two fools.
Nobody, we were the people that would sit on the back of the bus because nobody would talk to us. We were them two characters. But Clara de Bourne is actually a great musician. She's absolutely outstanding on the guitar, piano, violin. She's fucking got some gorgeous music. You can check her out on YouTube as well. She's got her own YouTube channel. It's just Clara Byrne Music, and she wanted to give me or get in contact with me and get a shout out for her her YouTube channel, which is Clara Byrne Music, and she's got some great stuff up on YouTube. So shout out to Clara Byrne. This tune takes me back to the day we were sitting on the bus and we first heard it. It is an absolutely class tune. You know what it is. It is, of course, Avicii, Hey Brother.
Hey Brother.
Class tune.
There's an endless road to rediscover.
We'll get one more musical quest after this. You are, of course, tuned into Cork Talk Official with your host, Benjamin Haynes.
Sweet, but blood is thicker.
Shout out to Clara Byrne.
Love to all our listeners out there. Shout out to Aidan Murphy, Carlo O'Brien and Paul Stanton. This is Cork Talk Official with Benjamin Hayes.
Takes me back to the Nagel Community College days, bye. Causing trouble up at Maple Grove Stores. Great memories. This is Cork Talk Official with your host Benjamin Hayes. That's going out for Clara Byrne. Thank you so much, Clara, for getting in contact with us and having that music request put in. We're going to get our last music request in as fast as we can. because we're going to cut the show and leave it at that. We're going to get one more music request in from a buddy of mine who got in contact with us. He wants this music request put in. He basically got in contact with us, as I was saying, just before part two of our show started. He wanted this song put in for us, or for himself, I should say. It is a... I haven't heard this song in so long. I genuinely haven't. I remember this coming out yonks ago. It is, of course, Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg is going to be playing at the Tree Arena next year. With Versatile, he's going to be playing his own concert with Versatile up at the Tree Arena. He wanted this song sent in to us. This is ancient. I can't not play this song, in all fairness. If you know it, you know it. If you don't know it, then there's something wrong with you. But it is an ancient tune in my eyes, because I can remember listening to this when I'd be sitting in bed when I lived in Mahon, and I was listening away to this song, and I'd be bopping away to it, of course, because it is Snoop Dogg. But we're going to leave it at that. This is our last music request. You have, of course, been listening to Cork Talk Official with your host, Benjamin Hayes. We had a couple of shout-outs for Aidan Murphy, Paul Stanton, and Clara Byrne. You've been absolute beauts for getting in contact with us. This is, of course, Snoop Dogg Sweat. For my friend Brandon Hogan, he got in contact with us and wanted us to play this song. It's Snoop Dogg. It's just Snoop Dogg. You know what it is. So you know what it is. Big Snoop Dogg. Can you be my dad? Can you fix me up? Can you back me down? You've been tuned into Cork Talk Official with your host Benjamin Hayes. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much to everyone who got in contact with us. Have a blessed weekend. You've been listening to Cork Talk Official with your host Benjamin Hayes. What's the crack? We're back. Much love to all our listeners. Gotta love this. Some memories. Yeah. Listen to that. I can't wait to be working security at his concert next year. Snoop Dogg. Thank you so much for tuning in to Cork Talk Official. We are running out of time, as you can hear by the beats, which completely ruin our podcast, but look. You have, of course, been listening to Cork Talk Official with your host, Benjamin Hayes. Thank you so much for tuning into Episode 5, Part 2. You can, of course, listen into Part 1 on Spotify, and Part 2 will be uploaded onto Spotify as well. And we look forward to having you all tune into Episode 6. Good night, God bless, and have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Cork Talk Official. Check us out on Facebook for all our upcoming episodes.